to me, the book of Ecclesiastes is so important that I'm going to take a few days and review it. I know most of you read it, but I want to make sure that you all understand it and see what the Talmud said about it and all that. Did you all go? Did you do that in yours? You went through the Talmud readings and all that?
What were the Talmud readings?
Well, it's all of this. I don't think you've seen this. This is the book of Ecclesiastes.
Secret Zohar
banana stuff. What's look at Harry.
He's not awake yet.
The first one that blinks loses. You just lost. Ecclesiastes. We're not gonna do the whole, you know, everything, but I wanna the high point.
Key passages.
We'll review certain key passages and the high points. I'm gonna quit doing that. I think it's Helen's drink fault. I think I feel goofy. No, I didn't put any whiskey this morning. I diddled, I put a little last night for a hot toddy. Everybody find it? First of all, this was written by the one who is generally acclaimed to be the wisest man that has ever lived. Which it seems to me that means we should like pay attention to what he said. The words of the preacher is in Hebrew is the Koheleth, but in Greek it's the Ecclesiastes, the teacher. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, I hinted at a couple days ago, it's vanity of vanities, so that's three, and vanity of vanities, that's six, and then vanity is seven. And throughout most scriptural interpretation, the seven always indicates the process. It's the cycle of time. It's the 7 days of creation. It's a complete cycle of time. And what is determined in the cycle of time, no matter whether it's a month or a year or a week, normally it's used as a week, the 7 days, are the 7 days of linear time for which the end result is death. Now, that's why the whole idea of it's appointed under the 70 years, because again, that's a multiple of seven. It's the death. The idea that wisdom is, from Solomon's standpoint, is to find out the mystery of death before the end. The way I've interpreted that forever, and it caused great consternation, is that the way you see that is you see yourself at all times standing before the judgment seat of God, which is the point of death. It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And there's a lot of mysterious passages in Ecclesiastes that you will never understand unless you understand your death. And that's what the cross is. And that's why the preaching of the cross is throughout the Old Testament, if you have eyes to see. But it doesn't stop at death because, or it doesn't stop at seven because there is an eight. and the 8 is the resurrection. 7 is the rest of death, and 8 is the resurrection. Remember what we've said so often. When you're troubled with something, no matter what it is, when you feel like everything is wrong, at some point of the millions of times that you felt that, you've got to stop and say honestly, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And there is no answer. Just like there wasn't an answer for Jesus. The only answer that eventually every one of you have to understand with perfect clarity, the only answer is 8, or the resurrection, so that you finally know that Jesus Christ is in you. That you've gone through life, and it's no longer just a theory, it's a concrete reality that He is more real in you than you are. But that cannot happen as long as you believe there is some solution in your mind. As long as you believe there's some solution in some work or some activity or some going or whatever it is, even studying the Bible. The Bible will be meaningless to you until you reach the point of death. Now, does everybody understand that?
When you say resurrection, this was made clear to me this moment that resurrection only comes to a dead thing.
That's right.
The thing is resurrecting a partially dead thing.
Right, and this is what that means. When Jesus said, if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light, but if your eye is double, even the light that is in you is darkness. And it's speaking of the eye of Christ. If your eye is single, if you look and see only as He sees, then your whole body is full of light. If your eye is double, if you're going back and forth looking with your eyes and His eyes and your eyes and His eyes, then even the light that is in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? It's darker than even before you had any light at all. This is like first grade stuff, but it's kind of important. Anybody else have any response to the introduction? Mr. Bojo?
No response. I think he's an existentialist.
Who? Solomon? Well, no, he's a nihilist. Oh, no, he's a... Let's invent some other words of human philosophy to put on him. I mean, that's all they are. People say, well, Ollie, you sound like a Buddhist. All right.
You sound like a Buddhist on crack.
Where's your cake?
That was not funny, Carolyn. Huh? And if anyone would know, you would know. Why did I say that? Remember, I've always told you that in the New Testament there are 4 stages allegedly. There's the I write unto you little children, I write unto you teenagers, I write unto you young men, I write unto you adults. In Hebrew, there are 8 stages. And that's... Well, it's not quarter till yet. In Hebrew, there are 8 stages. And we can maybe identify each other when you look at these 8 stages. At 1 year, the 7 mentioned corresponds to the 7 worlds which man beholds as natural man. At 1 year, he's like a king, seated in a canopied litter, fondled and kissed by all. At 2 and 3, he's like a pig, sticking his hands in things that you wouldn't dream of sticking your hands in.
Like a
He sticks his hands even in gutters and the draft, and he's insatiable. And he moves on, and he stays sort of like that. And at 10, he's happy and skipping around like a little child. At 20, they're like a neighing horse ruled by passion. At 30, having married, they're like an ass. And then shortly after that, they're with children, so they grow brazen like a dog to supply their food and wants. Then at some age, way beyond where I am, they're old. They're bent like an ape. What has been said holds true for the ignorant, but for those versed in Torah and aware of Messiah, he's like David. Now, David was old, and although he was old, he was still a king. He returned to the first state. He was born again. Everybody see that a little bit? What?
Cool.
All right. And then we're going to read, and then I'll stop, because we've talked about a couple of the other ones already. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth toward the north. It whirleth about constantly, or continually, and the wind returneth again, according to the circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already of old time. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the sun. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. The sore travail to seek out all things under the sun to be exercised. Remember the word exercised, it means humbled or emptied. So you have to push all barriers. You have to go to the links, to the ends of the earth in your mind. You have to go to the end of time and space in your mind so you know what I just read. Capisce? Otherwise, you will always believe there is something better. There's some other place. There's some other thing. What?
I was just thinking about what you were saying, you know, that there's a chance to not have to be looking for other places.
This is why sitting in body in a small group, 10 to 20 people, is so vital. Because then what you are thinking, and because your mind will come up with, you know, I love Gary because at least he says what's there, even how goofy it is. But if you don't say what's there, then it's gonna stick in you somewhere. So what do you think? God doesn't know your thoughts? You just got to be. And that's why the synagogue in the early years and this church in the early years was like, in many cases, it was a brawl. Because they came against everything and everything was open. And it was encouraged always to be this whatever came up was said. And that's how the Talmud was written. There's all kinds of goofy things in the Talmud. It's like reading, it's worse than a needle in a haystack. Because, I mean, you hear all these goofy rabbis. Rabbi Jose and Rabbi, what's a goofy one? There's another really goofy one.
Ralph.
Yeah, Rabbi Skippy, probably. But according to Rabbi, and they give you 15 definitions or 15 ideas of what a particular thing meant. But it shows this interchange so that everything, every thought can be brought into obedience to the cross of Christ. But if you don't, if you sit there silent, then you're a fool because you're sitting there letting all this junk go on. And don't tell me it doesn't go on. Anyway. I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. And it goes on before. He had more riches than anyone. Anything his eye saw, he went after. And then what does it say? This is sore travail. One rabbi related this verse to the prophets in the writings. For if Israel had been worthy, they would have read the Torah alone. Because most prophets and the writings are rebukes. And if you could see, so is the New Testament. The New Testament is a rebuke for not accepting Messiah from the Torah, for not seeing and being born again from that which is written. The only thing that anyone ever considered Scripture at the time of Christ were the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And those five books, the prophets and all the rabbis said, though, especially in Genesis, the Genesis was the Word incarnate going through all the crap. Just like the king, just like the little, the 1-year-old, the 10-year-old. Understand? Paul would be appalled. Oh, that's interesting. To find out that his words that he wrote were on the same par with the Torah. Because the Torah was Jesus Christ. Anybody know this? Are you still looking in here for rules? Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you find principles of eternal life. But they are they that testify only of me, and you still won't come unto me. As long as you're searching the Scriptures to find a how-to, you're really searching the Scriptures to see yourself. And as long as you do that, you will be a hearer of the word only and not a doer, no matter what you do. Because the only one that is the doer of the word is Christ incarnate in you. And as long as it's you doing anything, as long as you feel any obligation, then everything is a waste of time anyway. But listen, he gave his heart and his mind to search out all things under heaven. And he found out it was sore travail. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Science has pushed the barriers in all, whether it's high energy physics, chemistry, math, all areas of science, they're getting very close because almost every area and arena of science has gone to the edge and found out, what did they find? They found chaos. Chaos is the barrier between soul and spirit, so that spirit can never be polluted. It's the great gulf. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Vanity, you know what it means. It doesn't mean like you like to look in the mirror. It means empty, fruitless, without value, purposeless. But vexation of spirit is I love this one. It means chasing wind. And that's what you do when you chase your ideas, chase your feelings, give breath to any of it. You're out there chasing wind, and it's just goofy.
Oh, but I'm ambitious. I want to succeed.
Well, then you don't know that everything is vanity under the sun. You're still hoarding. You're still, everything is about you. It's no matter what it is, you'll keep it, including negative thoughts. It's just hoarding your treasure. And it's evil, beyond evil. I'm going to quit there. That's enough to think about.
It's contended on a phrase like evil beyond evil.
Chief of sinners. I had a meeting with three Baptists yesterday, and we had a that was pretty interesting, huh?
As it speaking of Jesus?
No, they understood. They heard.
I don't think it was a Baptist, Southern Baptist church.
Yeah, it is.
Southern Baptist, is it Garland?
Yeah.
Southern Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
No, they were great, especially the firemen, huh?
I was glad he was here when he thought the house was on.
I like you to go sniffing around.
Somebody must have some response. Please don't hold it in.
I'm thinking a lot of how in the body one person will stop, you know, imagine something that's not vanity and just sort of stop there. But it can be simple or it can be difficult for others to see, you know, that, well, no, that's just vanity.
No, and it's you got to see that anything that you're going through and anything that you have to say, I mean, it's for the it's to be judged, discerned by the body. That's why I encourage you. I want you to disagree with me if you don't understand. I want you to push the barriers. That's why I love talking to these people who never heard any of this stuff before. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about this? Well, it's like a refreshing breeze to me when somebody does that. Instead of just sitting there thinking about it. What are you laughing at? What does it mean when I've had this crap now for how long? 2 weeks. And I woke up this morning with another sore throat. Does that mean it's getting...
Starting over again.
Is that what you happened to you?
Yeah,
I think it's gone. Double up on the hot toddies.
Yeah, double. I need double up on the whiskey. Change of weather.
Change of weather.
You know, sweater.
There's this whole new thing, drier air.
Take it, big guy, quick. Take me quick.